Well, I want to continue on speaking with our theme this year. Our theme this year is Heaven Invades, as we know. We've been talking about this. Not that long ago, I spoke about divine interruptions, how God will interrupt you. He'll prod you, he'll poke you, get your attention. We spoke about divine interventions, how God actually comes into a situation and how he radically will transform that situation. Well, today I want to talk about divine infusions. Divine interventions, we mainly talked about God dealing externally, but I want to talk about how God actually comes and into our heart and life and how he strengthens us in the circumstances of life. So can we have a look at this passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 7 to 10? Many of us will be familiar with this passage. Preceding that is where Paul is talking about. He says, I know a man that 14 years ago that he was caught up. He doesn't know whether it was in a vision or the person was really caught up, and they had saw these incredible revelations, these amazing things that they saw in heaven, things that they were not permitted to speak. Well, he goes on to say, we can see that we know actually Paul is actually talking about himself, these incredible revelations. And so it goes on from there in verse 7. Well, because of these surpassing great revelations, therefore, in order to keep me from being conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power might rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses and insults, in hardships, in persecutions and difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Amen. I trust you say a louder amen by the end of this morning. Amen. But I want to talk about that infusion of the power of the Lord into our heart, into our life. Before I get onto that, I just want to talk a little bit about the thorn, because it's a sticking point for a lot of people when they talk about this thorn in the flesh. What is this thorn in the flesh? And I tell you what, there's quite a lot of conjecture about what this particular thorn in the flesh is. Some people think it was a physical ailment that Paul had. I don't know, maybe a bit more than a croaky voice, I don't know. But some people think that was the case. Some people say, oh, yes, he obviously had something wrong with his eyes, because they say that, you know, Galatians 4:13, where it talks about, you know, I had a condition, but you still were with me. And then they say, he used scribes to write most of the letters. And then in one of them, he writes, see what, with big, large letters. And so people say, oh, he obviously had a problem with his eyes. But again, that's all just conjecture, whether it was actually some sort of physical ailment. Some of the reformers, such as you got Calvin, you got Luther, some of them thought this thorn was something like that it was a temptation or a struggle that Paul was constantly struggling with. But if you read the rest of the New Testament through, I don't really believe that. That certainly isn't, I don't believe that to be the case. Although obviously all of us face temptations in life and we all have to deal with that. Or whether it was a mindset, and some people think that Paul had this incredible bad temper and he was always struggling. But again, I don't really think that fills in with the tenor of the rest of the scripture. And really, what actually is the thorn, really, which becomes a sticking point for some people, it's not really the issue, it's not really the point. What it does say in here, that it was a messenger of Satan, and the word messenger there is the same root word that we get angel from. And personally, I believe that it was a demonic attacks that were happening against him. And specifically, if you read the chapter before and the chapter after, the context of that, you'll see that there's what he really is talking about is persecutions, where the devil is stirring up people to come against him. It talks about being buffeted and all of the things that Paul went through. He had constant persecution dogging him wherever he went. He didn't really get a break, this guy. Wherever he went, he was preaching, and there'd be people opposing him. And you read what happened to him, about being shipwrecked, he's been beaten, he's been imprisoned, he's been hit and crown of thorns, but they put rods and things upon him, beat, spat on him, humiliated him, stripped him naked, stoned him, tried to stone him to death more than once. He went through a lot of stuff, and so he went through a lot of persecution. But at the end of the day, really what the thorn is that's not the point. That's not what we're really worried about. It's not really the issue. Really, what does that actually represent? And so don't get hung up on the thorn. In the scripture, talks about a thorn in the flesh a number of times, and it's a phrase that was used a lot. People even use that still today about, you can read there, I'll put it in your sermon summary there in Numbers 35, Joshua 23, Judges 2 about people that there's going to be a real thorn in your side. They're going to be a problem to you. So it's a figure of speech more than a description of a physical thing. And again, if you look at the meanings of the word for weaknesses, and if you look at the word flesh there, they don't use flesh as in the bodily sense, we realize that it is more than just a physical ailment. But again, that's not the point. The point is that there's a weakness, there's a struggle. And the point is what actually happens in that struggle, in that weakness that is in the actual life. And so the thorn itself is really not the point of it. It's not really what we're talking about. So let's put that aside for the moment, because some people get all hung up about that. Let's not get hung up on that. Remember, Jesus does heal. And don't read that and think, oh, yes, I'm not getting healed because that's my thorn in my flesh. That's a total misuse of the scripture. That's not what it's talking about. It's not about that at all. It's not Jesus is our healer. It's not saying you have to have a physical ailment. Oh, that's my thorn. Don't get distorted theology based on that. But really, what about is this whole thing about the thorn? The heart is what Paul is saying. There's something in his life that's been dogging him. And again, when you read the rest of it, it says, why I delight in weaknesses and insult, hardship, persecution, difficulties, all of the things that were against Paul. And if you look in your own life, you'll find that there's probably some issues of struggle in your life. Now, I'm not talking about sin. Wherever we have sin, we just deal with sin. Scripture says if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us of all unrighteousness. So where there's sin, we deal with it. We don't mess with it. We bring it before the Lord. We receive forgiveness. We repent. We turn away. We deal with it. But there are struggles that we all have in our lives. We all go through different things in our hearts and in our lives. We all have things that we have to face and work through and difficulties. And sometimes in the process of things in your life, you can come to a place where you just feel totally powerless. I don't know whether you've ever felt that, but where you just feel powerless in the situation. Spoke a little bit about this last time when I spoke about divine interventions and circumstances where you just can't cut it. You just don't know what to do. You don't know how to handle that. And certainly this is what Paul was doing. He was saying, Lord, I keep going through all this stuff. I keep going through all these persecutions. I keep going through all these hardships, these difficulties, these oppositions. Three times he pleaded with the Lord and said, Lord, and the Lord just gives him this incredible answer, which we'll talk about in just a moment. But three times, and it was a difficult place for Paul. And maybe some of you are in a difficult place now that you're really feeling that you're struggling. You're struggling with things in your own heart, in your own life, where you just feel powerless. You don't know what to do. You don't know how to handle the circumstances or the situation that you're in. And but there's something amazing about actually that place to be, that feeling of powerless, because it is actually the place where God is only going to do something amazing. So when we feel in ourselves that we can't do it, that we feel weak or powerless in it, that however we feel ourselves and whatever our own mindset or how we feel in it, it doesn't affect anything to do with God's plan. Our weakness cannot stop God's plan. God's plan is obviously going to prevail in our life. The weakness in our life, it doesn't stop God's grace, because he says, my grace is sufficient for you. So that struggle, that weakness that we may have, it's not going to stop God working. And we see that despite Paul facing all of this, what was accomplished in the life of Paul, what was amazing, because God's grace was upon him. He says these words, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. My grace is sufficient. And whatever circumstance that you're going through right now within your own heart and within your life, I want to remind you that the grace of the Lord is sufficient. You know, sometimes we just cry out, Lord, but Lord just, he reassures, he says, what I have for you is sufficient. My grace is sufficient. You're going to come through this. I'm going to get you through this. I'm going to help you through this. My grace will be poured upon you abundantly. You're going to get through the situation. My grace is sufficient for you. And then for my power is made perfect in weakness. That's an interesting thing to say, isn't it? My power is made perfect in weakness. So there's something about our own human strength that there's only so much you can do. And we all know that. We all do the best we can. There's only so much we can do. But our own human strength actually has limits. And if we operate, and even in the circumstance, even things and troubles and problems and hardships, difficulties, struggles, things that we come against in our lives, if we deal with that in our own strength, in our own capacity, there's a limit to that. And so there's a limit to our own strength. Our strength obviously has a limit. And so what you can do in your own life, what you can achieve in your life, what you can accomplish in your life, what you can work through, walk through, go through, conquer in your life, if it's in our own strength, it has a limit. And so there's a weakness in that. Our own strength is always weak. There's only so much that we can do, so much that we can handle. And if we do things in our own strength, if it's our own ability, our own effort and our own strength, there is obviously the temptation that we might begin to think, hang on, gee whiz, I must be something because look what I've done, look what I can do. And we start to feel conceited. There can be a pride that begins to come in. And it's interesting, because of these incredible revelations that were given to Paul, which he was not even permitted to speak. The word there, revelations, has got the same root. And we're looking at apocalyptic things or end time things, that God showed Paul some things that he was not even permitted to say. But he could have gone and decided to go on a book tour and go on a speaking tour and write books about it and make a lot of money, and people want to do all that sort of thing today. There was this temptation to be puffed up within himself over the things that he'd seen. And in our own strength, we can become proud. And there is that temptation. And Paul was even aware of that. He said, yeah, this has actually helped me to not get proud. Because at the end of the day, God is more interested in our character about what we do. Our heart of the church is to be everything that God made you to be. And it's the person that we are, the character we are, the quality of we are. What we do is important, that we honor God, that we serve God, that we reach out to the lost, that we touch people's lives. But when push comes to shove, God looks at our heart. He looks at our motives. He looks at our character. He looks at the quality of our life. And that's very important to the Lord. And so in this circumstance here, the Lord was interested in, what Paul was doing. But he was also interested in his character. Because this thing actually, the beauty of the strength, if you like, about where our power is made perfect in weakness, is how does that actually work? How does power become perfect in weakness? And I'd say it's a very simple thing. Because when we do stuff in our own strength, as I said before, there's only so much that we can accomplish, only so much that we can do. But when we come to that point of weakness, when we become to a point where we just feel powerless, then that's when I believe that's when the Lord actually comes in and he infuses us with his power, where he comes and he fills us at that point. It's at that point of desperation where you no longer can do this yourself. I can't handle it on my own. I can't cut this on my own. I can't do it on my own. I can't get through this on my own. And when we come to that point where we're no longer relying on ourselves, that place of weakness, and then we've transitioned as that turning where we just not relying on ourselves, but we are relying on God and what God can do, relying on God's strength, on God's power. At that moment when the Lord just, that there's a pouring of his power, strength in our heart and in our lives, then we have the ability not to only just go through things and not to only accomplish things, but to do amazing things in the Lord when we rely on him. So that's part of how his power is perfected in our weakness, is that we're no longer relying on our own strength, but we rely on God's strength. Now remember, God's strength is unlimited. Our own strength, we know, is limited. We all know that. God's strength is unlimited. God is able to do abundantly far more exceeding what we can ask or think or imagine. God is able to do all things. His power is strong. He is an awesome God. He is a powerful God. And when you're in that place of weakness, when you're in that place of powerlessness, really that's when you're ready for that power of God to come into the situation, to infuse up into our hearts and into our lives. Not so much changing externally. We talked about that with interventions. But really inside ourselves, in our own strength, your own capacity. You know you have a limit. Everyone has limits. We all know that we have a limit. But when we're filled with the Spirit of God, we can go far beyond that and accomplish and see God do so much more in us and through us than we'd ever realize. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7. Excuse me. But it says, we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the all-surpassing power is from God and it's not for us. And we're all, if we're honest with ourselves, we realize that we're just a jar of clay, that we're nothing fancy, nothing particularly special. We know who we are. We know ourselves. But the power of God is within us. And when you're going through a struggle, when you come to that point where you say, Lord, I'm not going to try to do this anymore. Lord, I'm just going to rely upon your power and your strength, and you just feel the presence and the power of God just to come into you and make you so much stronger than your own human capacity, your ability to stand in the situation. It's just amazing when God does that. Pastor Patricia spoke about hope last week and the power of hope. And I tell you what, when you come to a point here where you feel weak and hopelessness, but when you transition to the point where you're saying, oh, Lord, I'm depending on you, I'm relying on you, you just know that the power of God is there and there's a strength within you. And it's almost like, it doesn't matter whatever comes my way, I will stand strong because it's not my own strength which has a limit, but the power of God is within my life, that we are ready. And in that place when you are at the weakest point in your life, that's the place where you're ready for a miracle. That's where you're ready for God to do something. But it's for many of us, we have to come to that point where we come to that place of total surrender, total dependence upon him so that God can do that work, that deep work in our life. But in our weakest point, that's when the power of God is made manifest. My power is perfected in weakness. And they're the words of the Lord. That's what he said. And Paul actually grabs a hold of this because despite the struggle that doesn't go away, three times he pleaded with the Lord, pleaded, Lord, take this away. There's persecutions, there's struggles, there's things, you know, you read further on. Actually, you read in 11, you read all the things he went through. And then you read other things he went through. As I said, imprisonments, beating with rods, stonings, all the things that he went through. Lord, enough is enough. I can't take any more. Lord, take it away. No, no. And the Lord says, no, my grace is sufficient for you. And Paul actually gets a handle on this. He understands this. And so he actually has a transition where he changes from, Lord, just take this thing away, to actually coming to a point where he is totally depending on the Lord. And we can see this. He says, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast. And so, therefore, on the basis of this revelation, on the basis of this knowledge, that on what Jesus had said to him, what the Lord had said to him, he says, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses. Why? What's good about the struggle and those things? Because he says, so that Christ's power may rest on me. Because when we're going through the tough times, that's when we can rely on God and trust on him. We're not trying to do it all ourselves on our own strength, that Christ's power will rest upon us. And that's why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. Excuse me. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And I love that pronouncement. When I'm weak, then I am strong. Because there's a revelation that I'm not now standing in my own strength. I've transitioned to knowing that I stand in the power of the living Christ. I have the power of God in my life, infusing my whole heart and my life. And see, the very thing that weakens us is the very thing that God chooses to pour his power into to strengthen. And so if you're going through a struggle, you're going through a difficult even today, and weaknesses. And I said, if it's an area of sin, I'm not talking about sin. You got sin, deal with sin. You don't mess with sin. We don't play with sin. You got sin in your life, you deal with it. We know sin has consequences. We know the wages of sin is death. The scripture tells us that. We deal with that. We don't mess with that. But where there's struggles, you know, there's difficulties, which we all face. But at the point, the weakest points in our life, that's when the power of God is made manifest, where God pours his power, his strength into our life. There's that divine infusion into our heart and into our life. And the word infusion, it means, it says to cause, to be permeated with something that alters it for the better. To be permeated, and the power of God to be permeating your life. And so the times of weaknesses are actually precious times. People look at the struggles and the really deep, dark times of life. But they're actually very precious times if you get your mind right, if you understand that this is a time where I'm going to throw myself wholly into the things of God, cry out to the Lord with all my heart, honor him, and I'm going to stop trying to stand and be strong in my own strength. But Lord, I'm going to realize my own weakness, my own powerlessness, and Lord, I'm going to grab a hold of your strength and your power in this circumstance. And man, how it changes everything. As I said, it's maybe not change outside, but that infusion of that and the knowledge of that, it changes that. It changes you. And ultimately, that's what God is interested in doing. He's interested in changing us. It changes our heart. And so the very thing that weakens us is what God uses to show his power. And then we begin to move from a feeling of powerlessness into a situation of feeling powerful, because our feelings always can follow knowledge. And so if we have the right knowledge and we have the right understanding, then our feelings can come into line with that. And there's some people that get lost emotionally. They get lost in depression and darkness. I'm not talking about a chemical thing. That's a physiological thing that needs healing. But in emotional darkness and a depression, and get lost in this spiral, can get lost in this place. And the only way to get out of that place, because it's a horrible place for people, it's a dark place. The only way to get out of that is, in the midst of all of that, is to say, Lord, I can see where I am. And Lord, I'm leaving that all aside now, Lord, and I'm just going to grab a hold of you. I'm going to grab a hold of you, the knowledge that your grace is sufficient for me, and that your power is made perfect in my weakness. As we grab a hold of the Lord in that, then our feelings begin to change. And then, as Paul is able to say then, it's because, therefore, I will boast all the more in about my weaknesses, so Christ's power may rest upon me. And then he goes on at the very end, he says, for when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Some of us, we say, when I am weak, I'm weak. That's not what the Bible says, and that's not what the Lord says. When I'm weak, that's when I'm strong. And if you're weak, for when I'm weak and I'm weak, is that your pronouncement today, I pray the Lord give you a revelation. Stop trying to do it in your own strength. Stop just trying to hang in there. I'm just trying to hang in there. Come to the point of saying, Lord, I can't hang in anymore, but Lord, I'm going to just dive into your arms, Lord, and I'm going to let your Holy Spirit come upon me afresh, Lord, that the power of the risen Christ, Lord, you put your power upon me and strengthen me and to stand in that. And then I know that I'm not going to be overwhelmed and I'm not going to be overcome in that situation. And the widow talks about power. He says that the power is made perfect, and it's not a power that comes and goes. It actually is the inherent power. He says, my power is upon us. He says, my power is made perfect in weakness. And it's not a transitional thing that I'm powerful one day and I'm not powerful the next. Actually, it's to understand that we have the power of Christ within us every day. We have the power of the Holy Spirit within our heart and our life. And we just come to that point of saying, Lord, I just lay this, my own strength aside, Lord. I'm grabbing a hold of you. And then not only we change, our feelings change, our focus changes, and we're able to stand so strong in the Lord. It's an inherent power within our life. We'll run out of time. I just want to read quickly these couple of scriptures. 2 Corinthians 13:4, it says, for to be sure, he was crucified in weakness, yet he lives by God's power. We know Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sin, for the punishment that we deserve. Jesus took it all, that we know that. And so he was crucified in weakness. He was laying there on the cross. He wasn't fighting and struggling, being beaten, tortured, wretched, and had no strength left in his body. Couldn't carry the cross that they asked him to carry. It was lifeblood draining out of him, the strength just gone. It says he was crucified in weakness, yet he lives by God's power. We know that he rose again. Likewise, we are weak in him, yet by God's power we live with him to serve you. There's a weakness in our own lives. We know that if we're honest with ourselves. But if we can grab a hold of that, we don't have to do this on our own, that there's that strength that we have, that divine enabling, we can be so strong. It says in Isaiah 40:29, it says, he gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Now grab a hold of that scripture. Grab a hold of that promise. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. You know, the lowest times in my life where I've just felt, and I felt hopeless, I tell you, we all have, if we're honest, we've all felt like that. But then that revelation of the Lord saying, no, hang on, my grace is sufficient for you. And my power is perfected in weakness. That when we feel weak, if we just have that mindset rather than woe is me, as Paul three times, take it away, take it away, take it away. He has the revelation, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is perfected in weakness, as we stand in that. And there's that power for us. And I pray for anyone this morning that you're really struggling. If you're honest, you're really struggling. And as I said, times we can go through that. If that's you this morning, I pray that God is just going to, one, give us that revelation that, okay, don't have to do it on your own. You don't have to be strong. You know, sometimes when you're going through things, some people feel they have to be strong for other people. They have to put, you know, I better not let other people know. No, I'm going to be strong, because some people can do that. You're going to do that for a time, and then you're going to fall in a heap. I have to be strong. You know, if I'm not strong, this other person. And sometimes people try to be strong for someone else. You won't be able to do that very long. I tell you, your strength will wear out, because it's hard enough being strong for yourself, let alone being strong for someone else. And so we come to this point where we say, Lord, I'm just powerless in this situation. And Lord, I can't do this. Lord, and I just feel weak within myself. But then to let the Lord just say those words to you, my grace is sufficient for you. I'm going to bring you through this. And as weak as you feel maybe at the moment, I'm going to pour my power and my strength is in your life. And then your feelings are going to come in. You no longer feel hopeless. The darkest times are the opportunities for God to pour his love and his life upon you. He gives strength to the weary, increases the power of the weak. And in Colossians 1:11 it says, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you might have great endurance and patience. And if you want to last and keep on lasting, that's what we need to know, that God's grace is there. His strength is for us. He wants to infuse us with his power in his life. He's actually done that. He's actually done that when we became a Christian, when we got filled with the Spirit of God. He put his strength, his life, his power within us. And yet sometimes we can get that. And Paul is saying, Lord, take it away. And maybe you've been one who's been praying, take it away, take it away, take it away. But the Lord says, no, my grace is sufficient for you. And in the weakness of how you feel now, I'm going to pour my power upon you. And you have that mindset. Paul's saying, I'm not afraid of tough times now. I'm not afraid of hardships and troubles and difficulties, because in those things, I know that's where the power of God is going to be made manifest. That's where I'm going to tap into a strength that I don't have, but he has. That reservoir of eternity of God's power, his immense power, and to stand strong. And so I just really pray for each of us, particularly if you're struggling, going through a hard time, gone through a hard time. Maybe you're trying to be strong. Well, come to that point of saying, Lord, I'm not going to be strong anymore. I'm not going to try to be strong anymore. I'm going to say, Lord, I am weak. There's a weakness in my heart, Lord. I can't do it. But as we do that, have the Lord reaffirm to us that his grace is there. We're not going to be overwhelmed. We're not going to be overcome. You're going to come through this. But he's going to put his power upon our lives. He's put his power in our lives so that his power is perfected. At your lowest points is where the power of God is most readily available for us. So let's stand to our feet. I want to pray for us this morning, particularly if you're really struggling at the moment. And I know there's people here that are going through some difficult things, some relational things, some health things, financial things, whatever they are, things that can really affect deeply. And I pray that the Lord is just going to pour his power afresh upon you today. But pray for that revelation that your mindset will change, and that in this you realize, yeah, I cannot do this, but there's a power of God is going to come into my heart and my life, going to change the way I think. It's going to change the way I feel. I'm not going to be down. I'm not going to be depressed. I'm not going to be wallowing in self-pity or upset, but I'm going to stand in the strength of the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So let's pray. Father, we just come before you now. Father, every one of us will go through things at times, or we all struggle. But Father, I just thank you, Lord, that your word is to us, that your grace is sufficient. Lord, your never-ending grace, Lord, your abiding grace, Lord, your empowering grace is there for us. And Lord, that your power is made perfect in our weakness. And so, Lord, we stand this day. Lord, we admit our weakness. Lord, we admit we cannot do it in our own strength. Father, that we don't have the strength to prevail. Lord, we don't have the resources to prevail. Lord, we don't even have it within us. But Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you will pour your power of your Spirit upon us. We thank you, Lord, that your grace is sufficient, Lord. And in our weakness is where your power is made manifest. So we don't want to depend upon ourselves. Lord, we want to wholly depend upon you. Lord, you're our strength. You're our life, Lord. You're everything to us. And so, Father, for those that may be struggling this day, Lord, I pray, Lord, that they will know the power of the risen Christ, Lord, that your power be upon them. And, Lord, their feelings will begin to change, Lord. They won't be overwhelmed or overcome. But, Lord, they will stand so strong in you, Lord, because it's your power within us, Lord. We can grab a hold of you. We thank you, Lord, that you increase, Lord, the power of those that are weary. Lord, that you make us strong, Lord, and make everyone strong this day. In you, Father, I pray. Lord, there be that divine infusion in every heart, in every life. Lord, we ask that in Jesus' name. Lord, if there's anyone here, Lord, has never given their life to Jesus Christ, Father, I pray, Lord, that this will be the day, Lord, that they will come before you and say, Lord, I cannot cut it. I cannot do it on my own. I can't be good enough. I can't try any harder. But Lord, just to come to that point of surrender and say, I just need Jesus. I need what he did on the cross to count for me. I need to receive him. I need a new life, a new beginning, a new hope. So, Father, I pray if there's anyone here today, give them the courage to come forward when we pray and to give their heart to you. But, Father, we just thank you, Lord, that your grace is sufficient for us. And, Lord, for all those this day, Lord, that may be struggling, Lord, they'll know, Lord, that there's that power that will be there, that, Lord, not only make them sustain them, Father, but, Lord, it'll change their feelings as well. Father, I pray that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God.